Hello, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Smart Running Podcast. I am Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running. Today we'll talk about the long run. By that I mean your weekly long run. That's assuming your microcycle is a week, but it doesn't have to be. Based on your life, work, and the quirks unique to your body, you may prefer a 10-day microcycle, 8 days, 11 days. That's fine too. It's important to listen to your body, learn from your body, and design a training program that's appropriate for your body. But whatever your micro training cycle, you should always incorporate a long run, usually once per cycle. Since most people plan their running schedule on a weekly basis, that's the cycle I'll use as an example. Last time we talked about hard, easy training. And we said you should have at least one easy day between each 2 hard days. But we didn't talk about the weekend. That's because that's when most people do their once weekly long run. Now, when we talked about hard easy days, I said your hard days should either be hard because they are longer or hard because they include speed work. If you are in the base building phase of your training macro cycle, and by that I mean the first portion of it, then your hard day would definitely be a long day. That's because in the base building period, your focus is on just getting in more miles, and they should all be easy miles, particularly early on. Towards the end of your base building period, you might add in a little speed work, maybe in the form of hills or fartlek training, but we'll get into that in another episode. So if you already have longer days during the week, which comprise your hard days, then how long are your weekly long runs? Well, that depends on the length of your long weekdays. Sounds terribly confusing and vague, I know, but it's not really. It's just that every runner has to apply these guidelines to their own situation, goal, and experience. Therefore, it's hard to be too specific. When we talked about applying the hard, easy principle, I said your easy days should be a third to two-thirds the distance of your hard days. For this example, we'll use one-half because that keeps it simpler. Let's say the length of your easy weekday run is 3 miles. Then your long weekday run would be 6. And your weekly long run, your once-a-week long run, would be 9. It's easiest to think of it in terms of ratios, a ratio of 1 to 2 to 3, meaning your one long run of the week is 3 times as long as your easier short run, and your long weekday runs are twice as long as your short runs. This formula can be applied to any runner's current fitness level. The length of the long run will gradually increase throughout the base building phase, and the maximum length is determined by the runner's experience, fitness level, and goal race distance. And of course, the place that runner is within their macro training cycle. Obviously, a runner training for a marathon is going to work up to a much longer long run than a runner training for a 10K. Whatever the goal distance, however, it's best to build up to a long run that is at least a couple miles longer than the distance of the race that person's planning for or training for. This will prepare the runner mentally, for one thing. Once you've completed that distance a few times, it will not seem nearly as daunting. In fact, no matter how fearsome the distance once seemed, you will realize you can do it because you have done it. That will build the mental confidence needed to complete a race of that distance. I think, for me, the greatest benefit of doing my first marathon was that it made every other distance seem so much shorter. Now, a half marathon seems so much shorter, and it should. And I'm not just referring to half marathons and marathons here. Beginning runners will see even a 10K as just as daunting as a marathon until they've achieved that milestone. One of my favorite cliches is, everything is relative. I have talked to beginning runners just as nervous about their first 10K as other runners were about their first marathon. A second reason to do the long run is to train the energy system. Your body uses different energy systems depending on the length, actually the duration, of a run. Your body produces energy differently for a short run. As you get into longer distances, you are training your body to be more efficient at producing and utilizing energy. Put simply, this is why it gets easier, because your body's adapting to the longer distances. We won't get into this in any great detail today, because it's really quite complicated. But I promise that we'll spend some time on that topic in a future episode, when I will be interviewing Milt Bedingfield, an exercise physiologist who has himself competed in many marathons and Ironman triathlons. A third reason for the long run on the weekend is that it trains your tendons, ligaments, bones, and muscles to tolerate being stressed over that distance. It is so important to prepare your body gradually by overstressing these body parts gradually, little by little, asking more of your body a little bit at a time, and then giving it time to recover before the next time. Imagine if you were accustomed to running 5 miles a day, every day, and you've been doing it for years, and then you went out and ran a half marathon. Assuming you could do that, which you probably couldn't, you would almost certainly suffer some kind of injury, or several injuries. One of the most likely would be shin splints, inflammation caused by your body being suddenly subjected to the pounding force of running for a much longer distance than it had been able to adapt to through training. You have to allow your body to adapt to longer distances gradually, and it will. Treat your body kindly, with respect, and it will reward you. Early on in the base building cycle, the long run won't seem very long or very difficult because it won't be that long. But as it starts to get longer, you may want to take 2 easy days after it. And, of course, make sure you have an easy day before your long run as well. I would advise beginning runners to consider taking a complete rest day or 2 after a long run. A rest day from running, I mean. However, I would highly recommend going for a walk of a mile or 2, or an easy bike ride or swim. That will go a long way toward preventing injury and improving recovery. Now let's talk about how and when to increase the length of your long run. This should be done very gradually and with great conviction. You're thinking, with great conviction? Is that the word she meant? How does that apply here? Well, when you're on a long run, you will, of course, by the time you are getting near the end, have lots of endorphins surging in your veins. This feels good, really good. But it can be problematic as well, because it can cause you to use poor judgment and decide to go just 1 more mile or just 2 more miles. That's where conviction comes in. If you are scheduled to do a 10-mile run and at the end decide to run 2 more miles just because you still feel good, that is a huge mistake. That's how injuries occur, for one thing. It also overstresses your body. Remember, the best training is smart training. This is the Smart Training Podcast. You need to have the conviction to stick to your plan. In the long run, you will improve faster. I'm not just talking about injury either. If you do exercise poor judgment and do more than the scheduled mileage of your long run, you may not get injured, but you will still be overdoing it, and this is not beneficial. What I am in fact saying here is, don't listen to your body when endorphins are doing the talking. Endorphins are not smart and will cause you to make poor decisions. Let's talk more about endorphins. They're hormones your body releases during exercise. That's what provides us with that great feeling known as a runner's high. It's one of the main reasons we keep running day after day. In that sense, they are wonderful because they provide us a completely healthy, natural feeling of euphoria that keeps us coming back for more. But, and this is a huge but, they can still cause you to use poor judgment, just as someone high on alcohol or drugs will exercise poor judgment. Believe me, I speak from experience. A few years ago, I did a 5K race on the morning of the 4th of July. I had an excellent time and felt great afterwards. Oh yes, the endorphins were surging. After the race, I went out to breakfast with several of my friends. I felt even better then. The camaraderie of my running buddies always enhances my mood. I was on top of the world. When I left the restaurant, I thought about the fact that I hadn't worked out at the gym in a couple of days, and the gym just happened to be right across the street. So I drove over there, I worked out my lower body, and then I worked out my upper body. Still felt great. By now the endorphins were surging even more. I felt like Superwoman. The next room in that gym, the exercise room in that gym, is two stories. The cardio machines are on the second level, overlooking the workout floor. Well, I decided to do some sprints up and down the stairs to the second level. I did this about four times. I was still feeling great, better and better. So I decided I would do a quick brick. If you've never heard that term, it refers to doing two parts of a triathlon back to back, usually biking followed by running. So I got onto the stationary bike and spun for about 15 minutes, keeping my RPM above 90 at all times. Then I immediately got on the treadmill and did 2 miles with periodic leg turnover drills. That's when you work on getting 180 foot strikes per minute. I must have been Looney Tunes to do all of that in one morning after a race. Oh, I felt great when I finished. But by that evening, I felt dreadful. In fact, I felt dreadful for the next 48 hours. And I was not feeling like myself again for several days. I even had trouble sleeping. It's hard to explain how I felt. I would describe it as being excited and anxious. I felt like I just couldn't relax. I did not feel like Superwoman. I felt like Stupid Woman. I had allowed endorphins to dictate my behavior. I had gotten carried away, and I'm sure that workout interfered with my gradual progression towards getting fitter and faster. I was very fortunate that I didn't injure myself. So stick to your plan with conviction. That workout would have been fine for me to do on a hard training day when I had not already run a race. That was the difference. I had already sprinted for 3 miles at maximum effort for that distance. I should have done a 1 or 2 mile easy cool down after the race and called it a day. That unpleasant experience taught me a lesson, and that is to stick to my schedule and restrain myself when endorphins try to take over. Increase your long run distance gradually, and don't make a spontaneous decision to add a mile or two just because you feel good when you finish the scheduled distance. Increase the length of your long run by 5% to 10% per week. And when you increase it by 10%, keep it at that distance for at least 2 weeks, because you need to give your body time to adapt. And remember the hard, easy principle? That applies here too, in this way. Most coaches will advise you to fall back on your long run distance every third week, making that a recovery week of sorts. you may want to drop your total distance for that week to allow your body to recover. That's definitely my advice. I suggest dropping your long run distance every third week to just about 1 or 2 miles more than your long weekly run distance. By that I mean the distance of your long run that you would do maybe on Tuesdays and Thursdays. For example, let's use the prior example. If your easy runs are 3 miles and your hard weekday runs are 6 miles, then your long run would normally be about 9. After 2 weeks at 9 miles, though, you might drop back your long run to 7 miles the next week to give your body time to recover. Remember, too, that one of the advantages of knowing these training principles and applying them to yourself is that you can completely personalize your training to the way your body responds. I recommend looking at training as a hobby in and of itself. Listen to your body. Note how your body responds, and then adjust your training to what works for you. For myself, I have learned that my fitness will improve at a faster rate if I drop back the distance of my long run every other week when I'm training for a marathon. Otherwise, over a period of weeks, my long runs will become more and more tiring, and that should not happen. That means my body's not adapting. Listen to your body and let it teach you what it needs. That's really all there is to the long run. Training this way with hard, easy days and one longer run each week or each microcycle will prepare every runner for their race goal, making running interesting and varied and helping to lessen the likelihood of injury. Even if you're not preparing for a particular race, using this training plan and incorporating one long run per week will help you achieve a higher level of fitness. Next time, we'll talk more about how to increase mileage and when. Today, we've touched on how to increase the length of your long run, but next time, we'll look at the whole week. When to increase distance, on which days, and in what order. There is a right way to do it and, as with everything else, a reason to do it that way. In the meantime, I hope you'll visit Mojo for Running. And if you would like more personal input or if you would like to have a coach on call with your questions, to ask your questions, please sign up for my Coach on Call program. Now, I've decided to end every episode of this podcast with a quote, something to get you motivated and thinking. And I also hope you'll send me some of your favorite quotes, and I'll use them in a future podcast. I'll start with my all-time favorite quote. My good friend and inspiration, Velma Radloff, first shared with me a couple of years ago. Velma ran the New York City Marathon on her 70th birthday, and I was lucky enough to be there to help her celebrate. She'll be running it again in 2011, in fact. This quote defines her spirit. Life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride!"